This is the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show. A licensed counselor for 18 years and now a professor of counseling, Dr. Sonia wants you to know that you can be happier, your family can be stronger, your marriage can be peaceful and loving, and that safe, open, and enjoyable relationships with your sons and daughters is possible, and that you and your children can have the emotional strength you need to lead a life with fewer regrets. The phone lines are open. Reach out to Dr. Sonia right now, 404-355-8699. Or send in your question at www.helpformyfamily.com. Now, here is Dr. Sonia.
Get up, everybody,
hello, everyone. This is Dr. Sonia. I'm so glad that you're joining me tonight. Today, we're talking about our veterans, and we're talking about families and how they are struggling today and how we can support them. We wanted to get an understanding of what they struggle with and how we can support them. So if you're watching live on Facebook, or even if you're viewing a rebroadcast, send me a comment, because I'd love to know who's out there and where you're watching from. Since this is our first show, I know that you've not met me before, so I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I hope that you'll do the same as well as you stay with me on Facebook. I'm Dr. Sonia. I've been a licensed professional counselor since 2001, working with teens dealing with severe trauma and severe behavioral issues, and with families and couples to help them improve their relationships. Most recently, I teach as an assistant professor of counseling and have founded the Legacy Consortium Incorporated, a nonprofit that serves families in our community. Today, we are talking about veterans and their families. The phone lines are open, so give us a call if you have a question at 404-355-8600. Or reach out with your question online at www.helpformyfamily.com. National callers can also call at 866-923-2860. And Metro Atlanta callers can call 404-355-8699. All right, well, joining us in the studio today is Conrad Valsey. He's a clinical therapist and master addictions counselor. He has 8 years experience in the field working with assertive community treatment teams, Atlanta Job Corps, Devereux, Georgia Treatment Network with their advanced behavioral health model of care, and West Care Georgia, as well as the Accountability Drug Veterans Corp program. Welcome, Conrad.
Good evening, Dr. Sutherland. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm glad you're here with me today.
Awesome.
All right. Who else is here today?
I've got a couple of individuals that I'm very familiar with. I'll let them introduce themselves and how they got to be here.
Hi, Conrad, and thank you for having me, Dr. Sutherland. My name is Desmond Emilian. I'm a 12-year U.S. Army veteran.
And I'm Marcus Thurman, 4-year Army veteran. I participate in the Veterans Court.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Conrad, I want to ask you a couple of things. The Veterans Accountability and Treatment Court, what is that?
It's a program that's been implemented to help reduce recidivism. The program typically goes out into the criminal justice system, and I try to identify clients who may have committed particular crimes that they can relate to either substance abuse or mental health. If they find that they meet those criteria, then what they'll do is, through their attorney, sign up for the program. But the program is primarily a treatment program. That's why it's called the Accountability Treatment Program. Okay. The accountability portion comes on the part of the individual that signs up for the program. And the treatment comes through the treatment providers. I happen to work for a treatment provider as supplemental treatment for these clients as they come in. Typically, a client will come in, they'll sign up for the program, they'll come in and do somewhere minimum 18 months to 2 years in a program. It is intensive outpatient program, so they're not currently incarcerated. They're out in the community, they're back home. The idea and the principle behind the program is to help them reacclimate back into the community. Essentially, it's to help them regain the ability to perform these critical life tasks that they've lost the ability to perform due to either a mental illness and or substance abuse.
Okay, that's great. And you also said you work for the DEVRA Georgia Treatment Network. Now that's a little bit different. Just real briefly, what is DEVRA?
DEVRA is a residential treatment facility for adolescents between the ages of 8 to 12 to 21 years of age. Typically what I do now is I implement the substance abuse groups for these adolescents. Typically, it's the 13-year-olds on to 21-year-old clients. I will facilitate group, assess, and even implement individual sessions if necessary, depending if this youth meets the criteria of substance abuse or at risk of abusing substances.
Okay, so you're an expert then in substance abuse work, pretty much.
I wouldn't say I'm an expert.
Say yeah.
All right.
So, you know, as we're talking about veterans today, and you're talking about the program that you are working with, the Veterans Accountability and Treatment Court, how does this particular program impact veterans and their families as they try to reacclimate?
Well, it's the opportunity that is provided to these veterans. What we're finding, a lot of our veterans that are coming back from deployment are experiencing PTSD, anxiety, depression, all types of mental illnesses. Maybe it was never identified. And as a result, it's causing stress on their family, on their life. Their inability to actually work in, you know, just carry on what we all take for granted as part of regular daily life, daily routine.
And Marcus is nodding his head over there as you're talking. What are you what are you thinking?
Oh, because, when I was in the Army, there was no transition. They just pretty much gave you the pink slip, have a nice day, here's a little bit of money for you, have a nice life. And it was hard to transition because my particular MOS, I was 11 Bravo Infantry. The only thing I knew how to do was fight. So a situation might come up where I'll react out of, you know, anger and fight. You know, I didn't have any tools to use or coping mechanisms at that time. So it was just me, I was just out, just doing whatever.
Yeah. Because that's what you had been doing while you were enlisted.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other issue that I find is not all veterans that leave the military actually experience the exact same experiences that Marcus encountered. However, some veterans become acclimated back into the community. They do well. They thrive. Some of them are very successful. However, what we find is the trauma that's never readily identified. And this individual now is starting to see some subtle signs. And I'll let Desmond speak on that.
Sure. You know, my experiences have been after 12 years of my military service and trying to acclimate back into society. For those years, I was always trained to think that I could fix myself, you know. You just suck it up, you drive on, you keep everything moving. So for years, you know, I learned to suppress my emotions, you know, and just continue to move on, and I entrenched myself in my work. You know, professionally, life was successful, but personally, my life was suffering. So when bury myself in work, but my life at home was just kind of breaking apart. Things like Christmas, enjoying those moments, different holidays with your family, I couldn't enjoy those. You know, my kids would just often say, well, Dad, you never smile. And it never really dawned on me that I wasn't smiling and I really wasn't enjoying it. Well, being deployed for holiday months, you can't show those emotions. Typically what will happen is it shows a weakness and you can actually, in an hostile environment, get somebody hurt because somebody actually begins to not think properly and react. So it impacted my family, you know, in those ways. You know, again, professionally, everything continued to move, but personally, it was falling apart. Driving down the highway in traffic, I couldn't do traffic. Road rage was an issue, you know, couldn't handle that. My 11-year-old daughter would sit in the back seat and panic if somebody cut me off because she was afraid that daddy was going to jump out of the car and lay hands on somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, and through treatment for 9 months, it helped me to bring that anxiety level down. It helped my daughter that can now ride in a vehicle with me and feel okay. We can now play Monopoly together and enjoy our family time, mm-hmm. which we couldn't do before. So mm-hmm. it's given me, you know, the treatment has a better quality of life, which in turn allow my family to have a better quality of life.
Yeah. So just listening to what you're saying and see how critical it is for us to really understand what the experience is like for some veterans.
Yes.
And to understand what that happened, how that impacts the family after that. So, Kermit, talk a little bit more about that. If we were talking to families now, we're talking to spouses of veterans who may be experiencing things like this. What's one of the first things that spouses need to understand?
Well, one of the things that I've encountered most with spouses is you find a veteran who's been deployed to combat. They come home. First thing you have to do with the separation anxiety, the separation that takes place from the deployment in the first place. It's been said that once you're enlisted, the entire family is enlisted. Once you're deployed, the entire family is deployed. All right. Because the separation takes place, you might be from Georgia, and you enlist into the military, and now you're stationed in California, and you have no support system in California. And you're deployed to Iraq, and your family's left behind in California to take care of themselves. Now, throughout this time, there's separation from your family and support system in Georgia, and there's also separation from your deployed partner, whoever that may be, in the military. And then you have to worry constantly about their own safety because they're in a combat situation. So you don't know whether or not this person is actually going to make it back. Mm-hmm. That's a constant worry. Then this person comes home, and what they're encountering is the person that left is not the person that comes back, mm-hmm. because the same instincts and the same emotions, they were employed in order to keep them alive during deployment, are now counterproductive in the civilian world. Quite frankly, it takes suppression of emotions in order for a lot of, you know, veterans to survive, you know, deployment. So now you come back and your emotions are suppressed, and you don't know how to deal with it, and your family should be there supporting you, but they're expecting the old guy that left, but right. or the old person that left, but that's not who's back. And they may want to spend a couple of hours or days or week stuck in a bedroom with all the windows down, the shades down, dark, listening to music and just being quiet. Well, that's difficult for family who hadn't seen you in about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, how do they handle that? So I'm sure there's a lot of families out there right now that are experiencing this.
Yeah, and if you're out there, if this is ringing true for you, make sure that you tag somebody on Facebook and let them know if you think they should be listening to this because it'll help their family. You go ahead and tag them and let them know to come on and listen in on the show today. We're going to take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more with Conrad and with Marcus and Ms. Desmond, and see what we can do.
Do you want peace in your family relationships instead of conflict? Do you want a safe, loving marriage instead of one that is failing? Are you troubled about what's happening with your children and need help for them? At Legacy Changers Counseling Centers, the goal is to strengthen individuals and families with cutting-edge emotional and mental health interventions. The exceptionally trained counselors at Legacy provide the specialized guidance you need in a safe environment of belonging so that you can make the life changes you and your loved ones need. Get real help for your emotional and relationship needs. Call today at 404-334-7575. That's 404-334-7575. You can also find us on the web at LegacyChangersCounseling.com. Call now and transform your life today. 404-334-7575 or LegacyChangersCounseling.com.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in the world. And your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news. The latest entertainment. The newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country. And over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Sonia, and you're listening to the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show. And we're here with Conrad Valsey, with Desmond, and with Marcus, and we're talking about veterans, and we're talking about their families. If you have questions that you'd like to ask about this topic, the phone lines are open, so give us a call. At 404-355-8699, or reach out with your question online at www.helpformyfamily.com and send us your question there. So, Conrad, you were talking a little bit earlier about the reality that when our loved ones come back from deployment, it's not the loved one that we sent. It's someone who's different. And you were talking about some of the negative effects of military life and how it can come back. What are some other negative effects of military life for men and women who come back?
Well, one of the things that research is showing is, besides PTSD and plethora of mental health diagnoses that come along with military deployment, also substance abuse is another one, which can exacerbate the entire matter, because now, and unfortunately, part of what we find with our veterans that are coming back, the substance or drug of choice, as it says in this field, is usually and typically alcohol, which is a depressant. And that is problematic for many ways because it's socially acceptable. It's part of the military culture. Typically, it's a celebration. It's celebrating on either side, whether or not it's something you need to enjoy or at least to try to forget about. So alcohol becomes problematic, and it exacerbates the entire mental health issue. So now you have a family member who comes back from deployment, and they're at home. They're stuck in a room for 3 weeks. They're in the dark, and they're drinking heavily. They're abusing everyone else in there. Part of this program that I'm involved with is to help to prevent any further issues, because a lot of these military personnel come back, such as Marcus, as he mentioned, his MOS was 11 Bravo, so he's an infantryman. So he comes back, and he's expecting to be welcomed with open arms and translate that into, you know, a viable vocation for him. But how do you translate 11 Bravo, which is infantry, into an actual work skill? Mm-hmm. It's difficult. So now you're dealing, again, with more depression. So Marcus then doesn't want to leave the house. All the Marcuses out there don't want to leave the house. He's drinking, abusing his family, being abused himself. He's abusing himself. And it's really difficult just to even get out of the shell. So mm-hmm. What does Marcus do?
Well, Mark, tell us a little bit more, just your experience. It just, if it's not exactly like that,
yeah, it's pretty much that's what it was.
Okay.
I was in the shell. I used alcohol and other drugs to cover up how I was really feeling, mm-hmm. or lack of feeling. And it really took, I mean, I was out of it for maybe 15 years because I couldn't go out and get those jobs. When I fill out the resume, you know, I'll put, oh, yeah, I was 11 Bravo. I carried M60, you know, threw hand grenades. So the employers would look at that and like, bruh, that's not going to work here. So finding jobs, you know, that were pay good, it was hard. So I ended up just out selling dope and all kinds of stuff that wasn't productive. So, you know, I'm thankful today that there are tools out there, but we just need to get the message out mm-hmm. to the community. You know, there is help. You just don't have to shut yourself in.
Okay. And Desmond, what about you?
For me, the biggest issue for the transition was having spent so many years in the military and coming out into the workforce, civilians tend to look upon folks in the military as they're crazy. There's something wrong there, too aggressive. And we tend to look at civilians as they just don't understand us. You know, what's wrong with these folks? So it causes some folks to become more introverted than they originally were, and they begin to shut down. And the interaction between the civilian person and the service member, that relationship becomes very strained. And I'll give you an example. I was working for a major Fortune 500 company when I first got out of the military. I was in a position where I was the health and safety manager for this organization. And a simple confrontation became something very, very big, with me telling a guy that he just wasn't following the safety rules at the time, and he needed to put on his protective eyewear and his hearing protection. Well, his response wasn't a response that I thought was acceptable, and then came to a point to where I'm standing in his face of a 6'5" guy, and I'm ready to drop him to his knees because it wasn't something that I thought he needed to respond that way. I became very aggressive. I didn't really think on that until the incident that took place that got me involved with the Veterans Court, and started to think back. That was in 1998. Mm-hmm. We in 2017. That incident was the trigger to where I was headed, and I never saw it. I never saw it, and it took me to get to this point 18 years. I walked around after military service trying to figure out what was going on and thinking I could fix myself, until one young lady I met. I had been through 7 counselors in that time frame. Nobody could figure out what was making me so angry all the time. Why I would, you know, host parties. My wife liked to host parties, and I would just cook the food and isolate myself in another room. And that just was odd. But it took this one young lady to just sit down and ask the question, well, tell me about your military life. And she began to, you know, kind of diagnose and pick me apart to say, hey, maybe this is impacting you in a way. I suggest you go to this place and get evaluated. And that was the beginning of the help that I needed.
Mm-hmm. Just somebody asking the question, tell me about your military life. And so a lot of people overlook that as part of what's happening and being one of the biggest contributors to the experiences that you're having.
Yes.
So I guess one of my questions is, you know, for men and women who don't end up in the legal system and don't end up in a program like this one, but realize there's something just not wrong, but then they don't get help for whatever reason. There may be, I can figure it out on my own, but what else is behind that? I can figure it out on my own.
Well, what we have is the lack of trust. That's one of probably the primary reason why most military veterans do not reach out for assistance. They come from an environment where in the military everything is surrounded on you. Have your peers, you have your superior officers, everyone's there for you on the same team, and now all of a sudden you're back at home and there's no one there to support you. So you lose trust. You lose trust in the community. You lose trust in anyone else because no one really understands you. So part of the program and part of the reasons why these two gentlemen are here with me tonight, why I invited them, is because we're hoping to just sort of intercept someone who may be going through this right now and intercept them before they get to the criminal justice system. We don't want you to get arrested in order for you to get the help. And what these two guys have started and implemented is what's referred to as a community-based support program. Similar to AA and NA, same principles are utilized, but it's a peer support group. They advocate, they facilitate the group. It's open to any and every veteran that's out there. You don't have to have a substance abuse issue, or you don't have to have simply just a mental health issue. If it's either one or the other, as long as you are in need, you will find several other veterans out there experiencing the exact same thing. You're going to share your experiences with them. And I'll let Desmond and Marcus talk about that piece.
So just as you talk about it, just to be clear, this is not a therapy group or a clinical group.
It is not.
This is just a group of veterans coming together as peers to talk about what's happening for them and support each other and give accountability.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, yes. So tell us
about
that.
Because what we've noticed is that veterans tend to communicate better amongst veterans. They're a little more comfortable. The trust piece that Conrad spoke on is a big key. And this support group that we developed, the acronym is WAR, and it's Warriors Anonymous Refuge. You give everybody a place to come to have some conversation amongst some other veterans, or just listen to someone else's conversation. We open the doors to all veterans just to come and sit down and have a conversation with us, or just to listen. And it's a place where you could feel comfortable amongst some folks just like you.
Yeah, there's many pathways to recovery, and hopefully, you come by and check us out, that you might find something or someone that can lead you into the right direction.
That's awesome. So if you had to finish the sentence to tell a military man or woman, help them understand that they need help, how would you finish? You need help if. What would you finish that sentence with?
Well, I would say you need help if someone in your immediate circle, family member, friend, coworker, someone that's very close to you has said to you that, hey, you're not that person I once knew.
Okay.
Something has changed.
Okay. What's another one? If you need help if?
If you found yourself isolating, just staying to yourself and just don't want to be bothered,
Okay. And you need help if?
If you believe that there is no more help, there's no more support, that no one cares, we do. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of resources for people who do care.
Okay. And where can they go to find those resources? Desmond told us about one, WAR. What else is out there for people who are not in the legal system?
The veterans, the VA administration hotline, there's always that. I always recommend if you're having some sort of an emergency, always make sure you contact the Veterans Crisis Line. That's always first and foremost. And then ask out there. There's a lot of flyers, a lot of information that's out there, and you'll be able to, if you look for this information, you will find it, and I promise you, you'll find someone who can direct you, like Marcus said, point you in the right direction.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank
We're going to
you.
Take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Your body. Get it you have to heal your heart. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap.
Do you want peace in your family relationships instead of conflict? Do you want a safe, loving marriage instead of one that is failing? Are you troubled about what's happening with your children and need help for them? At Legacy Changers Counseling Centers, the goal is to strengthen individuals and families with cutting-edge emotional and mental health interventions. The exceptionally trained counselors at Legacy provide the specialized guidance you need in a safe environment of belonging so that you can make the life changes you and your loved ones need. Get real help for your emotional and relationship needs. Call today at 404-334-7575. That's 404-334-7575. You can also find us on the web at legacychangerscounseling.com. Call now and transform your life today. 404-334-7575 or legacychangerscounseling.com.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
One shot to your heart without breaking your skin. No one has the power to hurt you like your kin. Kept it inside, didn't tell no one.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show, and I'm Dr. Sonia. We're going into the second half of our show, and we are going to be talking with two counselors from the Legacy Changers Counseling Center. Juan Edgar. Hi, Juan. How are you?
How you doing, Dr. Sullivan?
I'm good. Juan is a marriage and family therapist.
Yes.
Who has graduated from Richmond Graduate University.
That's correct.
And then we have Katie Lee.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Sullivan.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. And Katie Lee is also a marriage and family therapist.
That's correct.
Graduated from Richmond Graduate University,
yes.
One of the best in the city.
That's right.
I'm a little biased because I teach there,
bit.
But it's the best in the city. All right. Well, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we have been hearing in the news today. This morning we had a tragic incident that was reported. Four children and a dad found dead in a Georgia home, and mom was detained for potentially being responsible for what happened. You know, as I listened to it this morning, my heart just broke to think about what was happening in the home and also to think about that mom and where she must have been to have gotten to a point where she made the choice to take the life of her husband and four children, allegedly. Of course, nothing's been proven. We can only talk about what's been reported at the moment.
Right.
To get to that point where you have, where it's almost like you've got a perfect storm in your life, maybe, right? Things have come to a head. Mm-hmm. Situations have happened all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You snap. Well, did you guys hear that this morning? And what were your thoughts as you were kind of listening to what had happened?
Yes, when I heard it, I could see it was a real tragic event that took place. It really touched me to hear that a mother was pushed to that edge, and for those children to have to lose their lives. We never know where we are in life when it comes to our mental status. So we have to try to be able to express our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it sounds like she did not have that outlet that she needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely may be the case. You know, I think, you know, you listen to it, and I think it's easy for us to say, I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
How
right.
could she do that? Or how could he do that? And, you know, any other situation. This is an extreme one, but we hear situations all the time, and we always wonder, ugh, that's just horrible. I would never do something like that. But, you know, there's a part of me that believes that everybody has that part of them, that deep, dark part of them, that you may never say to anybody, but you get, there's a breaking point, right? And you may not get there. Some people do, as this lady did.
Yes.
But everybody has a perfect storm that happens at some point in their life. And how do we as individuals begin to recognize the signs? What are we looking for? How do we know when things are potentially spiraling out of control? And it's easy to say, oh, I got it. I'm good. I might be upset, but I'm good, right? But then all of a sudden, you snap at your wife or snap at your husband or at your child, and then you wonder, well, how'd that happen?
Right.
Where'd that come from?
Right.
Right. And you were saying awareness
right.
of emotions.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Absolutely, Dr. Sutherland. I think you're right about that, and just being aware of who you are and your cutoff point of tolerance. And I was really heartbroken when I heard the news and reading the article, because, you know, I'm just really family oriented, and being a marriage and family therapist definitely just touched my heart. So I think today we can hit on some ideas and how we can recognize some of the signs
mm-hmm.
while
yeah.
we're here.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that. We do have a call that's come in, so let's go ahead and talk to our audience and see what's going on. Listener, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Mr. Gregory B., and I was listening in to your program, and my heart really go out to the family that the tragic incident went on today, as well as things are going on that we're unaware of. And I would just like to say to each and every one, you know, a lot of things we cannot help what's going on, but let us continue to stay prayerful and that God will continue to bless us and see us through a lot of things that we're going through, because a lot of things and a lot of people are going through at this particular time in our lives.
I agree with
and,
you, Gregory.
You know, we just have to continue to stay prayed up. Mm-hmm. And also, too, if I may, I would like to leave with you a motivational YouTube video. Just type in Mr. Gregory B, B as in boy, and click on palm trees.
Thank you, Gregory. I appreciate that. And, you know,
all right, you all have a blessed evening.
You have a great evening, too. And so, you know, I think Gregory B has hit on something that is probably one of the things that can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Spirituality.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So how can spirituality be a help in helping us manage ourselves, be self-aware and manage ourselves so that, you know, as we walk through life and we experience mm-hmm. our difficult situations, mm-hmm. How can that contribute?
I think that it contributes in a very strong way, and regardless of what your spirituality may be or denomination or whatever, but having a time of meditation, a concentration, a time of prayer, you might want to call it prayer, you might whatever you call it, I call it prayer, but a time where you spend that quality time during the morning or during the night where you're taking time to think about life, and you're taking time to thank your Creator for various things about life, your family, your children. Because, you know, I oftentimes refer to a book that I'm not endorsing, but I love the title, and that is that Parenting is Not for Cowards. Well, just that title itself lets us know that it's a huge job, and it takes a village, they say, to raise
yes.
one child. So I cannot even imagine what this lady may have been feeling, what the father could have been feeling. We don't know the anxiety of the whole family. But I think having spirituality somewhere along the line where you take time and develop a self-awareness is very, very important.
Yes, I can definitely agree with that. Having a spiritual mindset will help you in regards to having a place to go to in your times of need, that when you feel like you don't have anyone else to go to.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can turn when you just absolutely feel like you just hit the wall. That would be my first choice, is to go to that, my spiritual mind,
yeah.
in order to just get some time to myself and meditate and think about the things that are going on.
Yeah. And it gives you hope that there is something else.
Definitely.
Outside of what's happening for you. There's hope in a God that is bigger than you, and a plan that you don't really see, or a plan for your life that is more than what you're experiencing right in the moment, right?
Right.
And so, you know, as you talk about spirituality, you talk about prayer, and you talk about meditation,
mm-hmm.
it makes me think of times when we become so stressed with work, with home, with everything
yes.
that we are dealing with.
Yes.
And sometimes we just don't break. We don't take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
go and we go and we go and we go because mm-hmm. we have to go, and we have to go because we have to make money. We have to
mm-hmm.
take care of our kids. We have to do all these things. And society doesn't let us stop. We just
right.
go, 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 go,
that's
go.
That's right.
And
right.
then we miss the signs
mm-hmm.
that we are closing on a tipping point for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so how can we recognize some of those signs? If you could say, what are the signs that I'm getting close to the edge, when I need to step back,
mm-hmm.
what might some of those signs be? What might be signs that your loved ones can look for in someone to say, sit down for a minute, because I think you're getting closer to the edge?
Well, I think going back to the word self-awareness, and in our field, in the clinical field, we're taught the very important thing is to know self-care, to know what that is, and to recognize when we need it. And of course, there are various signs to when you come to a place of the, you know, you're almost there, you can't go anymore.
Right, right. To know thyself is very important, very
mm-hmm.
important. I can give an analogy when it comes to hitting that breaking point. Let's think about a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
And that cardboard box is empty. And we fix that cardboard box to where it is in box form and turn it on its strongest side. And we start taking and putting, let's say, a sheet of paper on that box. And that paper represents that problem that you're going through that you didn't deal with, and you just left it there on that box.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you continue to have those problems, you keep piling those problems on top of each other as you're doing that paper on that box. And eventually what happens is you'll get a ream of paper on that box, and then that box will start to bow. That's that stress that you're having in your life. And the more you pile on, eventually that box is going to collapse. Mm-hmm. And that's how your life is going to collapse.
You might experience like headaches, mood swings, where you're pulling away from the family, where you're screaming at yourself, screaming at your husband, or husband screaming at their wives, that kind of thing.
Yes.
These are all signals here. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we ignore them, that's the danger zone. You're nervous. Maybe you're overeating. Maybe you're undereating. There are just so many things that our bodies tell us that something is wrong, something is not right, and we just need to stop.
All right.
Go by yourself. Get in the car. Don't drive, but just get in the car. Turn the music on or whatever you have to do. Favorite movie, whatever it is to preserve your well-being. That is imperative.
It is imperative. And you know, I think, too, one of the things to consider is that sometimes folks have a hard time identifying the emotions that may be coursing through their bodies. Sometimes they can't identify anything other than anger, but then what's underneath that anger,
right?
What led to that anger? There's something else that's underneath there that they can't necessarily tap into, right? And so being able to talk with and work with a counselor to help you with being able to tap into that anger and what's underneath it and why that seems to come out in that way in a pretty consistent manner is really what you want to do. Because my supposition is that for this woman who took this action today, this wasn't just something that just came out of the blue.
Right?
There were stressors on her that maybe she just didn't recognize and didn't know how to name and didn't have help to figure that out.
Right?
And when you don't have that help, when you don't know how to cope, that's when you need a counselor to try to help you move in that direction. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this, because one of the other things that the news talked about is that she had lost her father in recent weeks. And so maybe there was a grief component to that as well. But we'll talk about that when we come back. We'll just take a break. And if you will have a question, please do call us at 404-355-8699. Be back in a minute.
Ain't no such thing as too much. If you gave me everything, it'd never be enough. Yeah, my black coffee with sugar, no cream in the morning. You're my super double caffeine dream. Yeah, your precious darkness got me so strong.
Do you want peace in your family relationships instead of conflict? Do you want a safe, loving marriage instead of one that is failing? Are you troubled about what's happening with your children and need help for them? At Legacy Changers Counseling Centers, the goal is to strengthen individuals and families with cutting-edge emotional and mental health interventions. The exceptionally trained counselors at Legacy provide the specialized guidance you need in a safe environment of belonging so that you can make the life changes you and your loved ones need. Get real help for your emotional and relationship needs. Call today at 404-334-7575. That's 404-334-7575. You can also find us on the web at legacychangerscounseling.com. Call now and transform your life today. 404-334-7575 or legacychangerscounseling.com.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Jones in and feeling under my skin. My nerves are screaming when you're not here. See, baby, I need you. Sugar, you're so delicious.
There is something about your love that makes me just want
to
open.
Hello, everyone. We are back. You're listening to the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show, and this is Dr. Sutherland. I'm here with Juan and Katie Lee.
Hello.
And we've been talking about the tragedy that occurred this morning here in Georgia, the four children and dad who were found dead in their home, and their mom had been detained. So we're going to talk a little bit more about responding to pressure and how to manage it. But we also have a call, so let's kind of see what our audience is talking about. Listener, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I'm enjoying your, what's the name of your program and what's your contact information?
This is the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show, and we are talking today about the tragedy in Georgia. Our contact number is the one that you called. If you have a question about the Legacy Changes Counseling Center, that contact number is 770-344-7575.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
So do you have a question, call or a comment?
Is there a website? Is there a website? Yes, I do.
www.legacychangerscounseling.com.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you're having a program, and I just found out about the tragedy up there in Grayson / Loganville.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wanted to comment on, you mentioned spirituality, and I think part of spirituality, though, is community. I think people are becoming so isolated for whatever reason, sometimes because they're just busy with their life, as you said, going, making money. But if you have a community, a small group of friends or relatives, and you talk to them on a regular basis during the week, and everybody can take everybody's temperature. And if, say, for instance, you got a group of four or five people to communicate and say, well, you know, I haven't heard from Sister So-and-so, or Sister So-and-so was kind of talking a little strange the other day, or she wasn't saying anything. And if you have two or three people observing the same thing, then we can take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the nutrition, I think is important. If people aren't eating properly and maybe taking the supplements they need to take, that can also be very harmful. I've been severely hydrated twice, dehydrated twice. And fortunately, I was able to get my sister to get me into the hospital so I could get an IV in
mm-hmm.
me, because I was, you know, I was dizzy. I wasn't feeling well at all. So we always have to, community, I think, is very, very important, along with nutrition and a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
If someone stops, do you remember Freddie Prinze?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of the things he said was he couldn't hear the laughter anymore
yeah.
before he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think, and the Bible says laughter is the best medicine. So I think that as far as self-care, if you can keep yourself laughing and not take life too seriously, because you're not going to figure it out, then we'd be able to take care of ourselves a little better.
I like your perspective. What's your name? You didn't tell me your name when you started on
this
call.
I'm sorry. I go by JT.
JT. Well, I'm glad you called JT.
That's Legacy Changers?
LegacyChangersCounseling.com.
Okay, and you're located in Atlanta, Decatur?
We have two locations in Norcross and Paulding.
Norcross and Paulding?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
I did say that, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much. God
All right,
bless
JT. God bless you. Take care. That's a great point. Community is very important. The sense, the isolation that potentially this lady felt have been a contributing factor. One of the things that was reported that her neighbors didn't know anything at all was wrong with her.
Right.
Or whatever was going on in the home. They had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have been that there really was no community around her.
Right.
Yes. I think we have to be involved with community, and we think that's a huge venture, but actually it's just a matter of waving at your neighbor or saying hello to your neighbor or sometimes knocking on the door, whatever, but letting them know that you are around
right.
and that you care.
We've gotten so far away from community, and the world needs to go back to talking with one another.
Yes.
Just saying,
waving at each other.
Just saying hello.
Yeah.
We may be too busy on social media.
Yeah, we might be.
Right.
We have another call. Let's take our call. Listener, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Sutherland, Juan, and Katie Lee.
Hi.
This is Christina. Hello.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. First of all, I love your show. I'm really enjoying tonight's episode. But I had a question for you all on how would you handle, because in certain communities and certain cultures, there's a stigma for seeking help for mental health counseling. So how do you address that in communities where people are not as open to see a counselor?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Christina. That's a great question. That's very common in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. It's common as well in the Hispanic community, where there is a level of distrust just around the types of organizations that counseling may represent. Sometimes people think of counseling as, well, if I go to counseling, I'm crazy.
Right.
Right? And that's so far removed from the truth.
Correct, correct. I think the best way to actually deal with that is that we actually have to get out into the communities and start learning about each other. Mm-hmm. There's no way that we can dispel the myths of counseling, mm-hmm. other than getting out there and talking with one another and finding out, you know, the ins and outs of our personalities, our well-beings, what we are willing to do and not to do. Mm-hmm. And being able to trust, and that's the biggest thing when it comes to counseling. You have to have that trust.
Absolutely.
In counseling. Mm-hmm. And that's where we fall short, is people don't trust as we once did.
Yes, that is very true. I concur. And I think that one of the ways you overcome not trusting is learning how to connect. And that's what we're doing here on this program. That's why we are here,
right.
is making ourselves available. Showing yourself friendly, showing yourself knowledgeable, showing yourself professional in your field, and being willing to reach out to the communities. We have two locations, one in Norcross and one in Hiram, and we're out here in the community. And actually, I think all the counselors I've met over the last 3 years and professors, we love people. We love what we do, and we want to be available. And we love what we love our practice. We love our clients. And one of the good things about counseling that I like is that, guess what? It's confidential.
Yes.
And most of the counselor that you're going to see, you don't even know that person. So you have nothing to lose except for an opportunity to tell your story.
Right.
And we all have amazing stories to tell,
yes.
crazy stories to tell. And guess what? We're here to help you walk through that journey so your story can turn out pretty good.
And I like the way you put that, because that's the key. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when folks think of counseling historically, you think about mental health institutions where people are in straitjackets, and that's where the crazy part comes
right.
from, right? I've got a mental health diagnosis, so something's wrong with me,
right?
And more accurate is the fact that counseling, all it is a partner to walk alongside you
right.
on your journey.
And that's what right? we do. We walk with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We are there to walk
yes.
beside you and walk with you through that journey.
Yeah. And the goal, of course, is wellness.
Exactly.
Yes,
living a life of wellness in every mm-hmm. area of your life, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Well, one of the things that I'm so thankful for the field of counseling is before I got into the field is because I was on the brink of depression. This has been maybe 15 years ago. And I happened to just call a counseling office or whatever it was, and that person walked me through the process. It had not been for a counselor, somebody who just cared on the other part of the line. I don't think I would be here today. And so, therefore, one of my passion in my field is to help people through depression and also people who are suffering with low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. That is what I focus on. Among other things about that right there, I can really identify with it because I've been there. And so only God, talk about spirituality, only God brought me through, and only a professional counselor helped me walk through, and I'm here to be with you all today.
And what would you say then to folks who say, well, I get counseling from my pastor,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? And that's where I get my help from, my church, from the lay counselors at church, who are very helpful, right? But what's the difference between a lay counselor at a church and a professional counselor or a marriage and family therapist?
Well, I think they're both equally very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And based on our study that we've done in the field, but also just being a Christian myself and loving pastors, the spiritual aspect definitely is very, very important. I am seeing a lot more pastors who are actually coming to grad school and coming to school to get the professional training, because that is needed. There are more steps. There are more educational steps that have to be taken, and that's where we come in, because we have the one-on-one training. We have a spiritual background. We have, especially from Richmond, right. You get the spiritual background, you get the academic background, and you combine that together. And, you know, as I read the scripture, I don't see where separate God talks to. God is our counselor. He teaches us to be counselors. It all comes together.
So it's a both-and proposition.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. A both-and proposition. And so, you know, I appreciate that you told your story mm-hmm. briefly just around managing your depression. The same goes for marriages, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times we say that we are going to go to our pastor for marital counseling, and that is fantastic. In addition to that, very often mm-hmm. There are things that are happening in a marriage that need a professional counselor's perspective. Mm-hmm. Because if, for example, you have a spouse who brings, let's say, trauma to the relationship, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. A traumatic experience in childhood, or even as an adult, that has never been dealt with, negatively impacts your family relationships and your marital relationships, right?
Right.
And so when you bring that into the home, what then? How do you deal with that?
Yes.
Right? And so we don't know what happened in the home with this particular family, but I imagine had there been some type of intervention from counselors, from marriage and family therapists, if husband and wife had been able to work together, who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? But we don't need to walk alone.
Yes.
Right.
As husband
right.
and wife, we don't need to walk in our marriages alone.
Mm-hmm.
Our
no.
families don't need to walk alone.
Right.
There's help out there.
Right.
There's help out there.
We definitely have to remember that once we come together as a family, once we come together as a couple, we're no longer two. We're now one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more he or she.
Mm-hmm.
It's us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the family.
It's the family.
And that's the important thing, is that we have to get back to family.
Yeah, and yes. you know, family is that first place of belonging that exists.
Yes.
And if we don't feel like we belong there, that's part of what the struggle
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you guys coming on the show today.
It's my pleasure.
Yes.
We are at the end of our show. Thank you for listening in, and we will see you next week, Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m., right here on 870 a.m. iHeartRadio and on Facebook Live. If you want to learn more about the show and about Legacy Changers, just visit us online at drsoniasutherland.com or legacychangerscounseling.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show. If you have any questions about the broadcast, please feel free to call Dr. Sonia at 404-334-7575. That's 404-334-7575. Or go online to helpformyfamily.com. That's www.helpformyfamily.com. And be sure to join us every week at this same time for the Dr. Sonia Sutherland Show, right here on Love 860 WAEC, Atlanta's inspirational talk radio.